that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, August 16th, 2014. And I want to welcome everybody on. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Glad you guys could join us. We say good morning to the remnant, and of course, good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And we're glad that everybody was able to join us, and we'll have the phone lines open, get some of those buttons pushed here. Lots going on, lots of current events. People might want to call in and join the conversation and put in their little 2 cents worth. So if you'd like to do that, we'll have the phone lines open here in just a minute. But, you know, we always like to open up with a word of prayer. That's about the best thing you can do to start just about anything, I think.
Yes,
so, Kyle, would you open us up in prayer?
Sure. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together in your name. We thank you for the Son that died on the cross to free us from so many things. We ask for you to put your Holy Spirit down upon our minds and our hearts. Lord, let us walk in that Spirit and take those things that have been given to us. Lord, let us worship the King Jesus and serve Him no matter what's going on around us, Lord. We thank you for all your remnant out there, Lord, that are gathering not only with us today on the radio, but are just gathering in your name, trying to do kingdom living, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you for our families. We ask you to watch over them and the remnant. Guide and protect them. Deliver us from evil, Lord. For these are evil times. Again, I thank you so much for this opportunity. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And we'll give the number out early today, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in, I know we've kind of on the headlines, it seems like, are these riots in Ferguson, Missouri. And they continue on, even though the governor decided to back off the county. SWAT teams and tanks and rubber bullets and tear gas and replace them with the Missouri State Highway Patrol walking peacefully, arm in arm, with the peaceful protesters. Because they have the Captain Johnson that grew up in the area and just understands that we have to come against, we have to break that cycle of violence. And so the four nights of rioting and police response to that was broken. When they could have State Highway Patrol Johnson, go at things a different way and walk arm in arm with these peaceful protesters to break the cycle of violence. And that lasted one night. And then last night they were back rioting and looting stores and had to get tear gassed and everything else. But we know that we have at least a few families in the area and have gotten some emails and texts and whatnot from some of them that they're safe. No, we prayed for some families Wednesday night at the Wednesday night prayer meeting and for them to be protected. And so we encourage you, the remnant, to continue to do that. You see these things, it's not just, God has his remnant all over. He has his remnant in Ferguson, Missouri. I'm sure there's some there. Might only be one, but there might be one there. We know they're all over Missouri. We know when Hurricane Katrina hit down in 2005 that his remnant was in that area because that hit a big area. It's important. That's a very big part of the full armor of God when you pray that on every day, is to pray for the saints. Pray for the remnant. It's effective. It is one of the most powerful things we can do as a Christian. Anyway, comments on that? That might be a place to start.
Well, yeah, you look at this Ferguson, Missouri rioting thing. First of all, there's a lot of things that that I've noticed about it. We know that, anytime that there's a problem between two parties, a lot of times in situations like this, there's that unseen third party, and that's the one that keeps sticking out in my mind. Yesterday, I noticed that that the police that shot the tear gas canisters at a camera crew over there, and the video was pretty shocking. Camera crew set up, taking footage of the rioting situations, set back, minding their own business, and the police just turn on them and start shooting tear gas canisters on them. That was kind of out of the ordinary. I mean, we've had all these riots over the past, but it's not very often that you see them turn and fire and give the camera crews a hard time. Usually they like the publicity. So that was kind of interesting. Another thing that was interesting is that police chief, he came back from Israel and had went over there and done training seminars with the Israeli military. They have courses, and I guess it's not a very uncommon thing. It's several of them have done it from here in the United States, but they go over there, they spend some time, and they learn their tactics because of, the Israelis, they're really good at protests and riots and riot control because they've deal with it on a daily basis for years. But yeah. They go over there and do their training, and then comes back and this happens. So, you can't tell me that they go over there, that this police chief goes over there to Israel, spends time in the land of the Israelites, and comes back and isn't given a job, doesn't fit in somewhere. It's like a role was played, and here's his card. He goes to Israel, he comes back, and, this is what's to happen. I mean, that's just the way I see it. But, something is, something ain't right, and everything that they, you know, that you look at, that you're seeing on the media, it's like, you know, it's either there's they try to put you inside of a box by either putting you on the right side or the left side, by either saying you're for this, you're on Michael Brown's side or you're against Michael Brown. Well, you know, there's a, you know, there's obviously a third side to the story.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
Do the words "wag the dog" mean anything to you?
Yes, they do.
I mean, what?
Well, that's what I'm seeing all over. Wag the dog. Wag the dog.
What have you not heard about lately? Illegal immigration.
Exactly. Yep.
The invasion. That's what we haven't heard about. Okay. Now we want you to focus over here. And for the most part, people are. But got news for you. There's thousands and thousands of illegal aliens coming into this country. The borders are wide open.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, saw a video about a week ago. A part of the remnant sent it in, and truck driver pulls up to the border crossing, and it was legitimate. I watched it, and it was the big border crossing, you know, with several lanes of traffic, and the border guard says something to the effect of, you know, are you a citizen? Do you have your papers? And the truck driver said, does it really matter? And the guard said, not anymore. Waved him on through. Now, I saw the video, you know, and that is what is happening. That is what is happening. It's just like John said, they are wide open. Now, you know, we're not going to leave it on this doom and gloom, but right now, that's how it is. Go ahead, John. Time for me to drink some coffee.
Yeah, the thing that was concerning as you watch this deal in Ferguson, Missouri unfold is they literally had military vehicles there that were, war vehicles with machine guns set on top of the trucks. And they were trained on the people. And these people, you know, they're for the most part, they're black people who live in that area there. And but they were basically singing and dancing and things like gospel songs, stuff like that. I mean, not to say that there wasn't the looting and the rioting and all that, but the pictures that I saw were military with machine guns trained on the people. And some of the reporters were actually pointing that out. It's like, wow, we have like full-blown military here with machine guns, with full armor.
Full tactical gear, you know, ready for battle.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just to show the people that, look, you know, we're the king, we're the boss. And we're going to tell you how it's going to be, and you're going to learn one way or the other.
Yeah, they had put out early on in it, they had put they had put notices after about the second night that please have all protests during daylight hours only. And I saw posters of that.
Yeah,
that
which is basically a curfew.
It is. And, you know, that's what they do. That's what the military does when they go into other countries. They did it in... you know, over in this perpetual war that we're still in the Middle East,
the thing we got to realize is that our God is not mocked, period. And this invasion is nothing more than what was promised in Joel. And there's only one way out of it, and that's repentance. And I've actually been studying into some past revivals in this country and in the world. And what was one of the greatest revivals in the Bible? Anybody know?
One of the greatest revivals in the Bible.
Yeah.
There were revivals in the Bible?
Well, what did Jonah do when he went to Nineveh? What did those people do?
They repented.
They were, basically condemned to die in 40 days. God was going to wipe it out. And if you read about Nineveh, it was an evil place. It was the Assyrian capital. But what happened there? He sent Jonah, and he warned them, And every one of them, including the king, came to repentance. Well, I got news for you. That's the only way out of this thing. We win this thing when we repent. Hello?
Yeah. Good point. Good point. Kyle?
Repentance, you can't beat repentance. You can't beat prayer. Like, I think of the protest, when you guys say protest, that they're protest. I've never really, I mean, I remember one time standing out, I guess, protesting in a one of those abortion places, family, whatever, down in Medford with the Andersons. I remember doing that, but I also remember after leaving how it was unfulfilling, really. The best protest anybody can do is petition God. I mean, because you're protesting usually against the people that are putting you in slavery or doing the things that are... I mean, they're the last people that are going to listen to you. They're the ones that's going to stick their hand out the window, you know, and say you're number one. I mean, that's what happens when you protest. So it's ridiculous to me that these people, you know, if they're good people, you know, and they're not, you know, I mean, obviously, looting and doing all the things they do, you know, they can stand out in the street and dance and sing, and, you know, we've seen all that before for years, and they're not accomplishing anything because they're not protesting to the right person. They're not petitioning God for help. And as far as what John says, there's a day of destruction coming. Now, it came on Nineveh. That only pacified God for so long. The destruction came on Nineveh. The destruction's going to come on America and the rest of the world if and when God's ready. You know what I mean? We already know.
It's been
prophesied.
It's been promised.
So that's going to happen, and that's when, you know, that's when this land's going to become just again. That's when this land's going to become righteous again. You know, all we can do as individuals, and me and Richard have been talking about this several times this week, is we can live like we're in the kingdom today. And if you go to Exodus 20 and you read the Ten Commandments, and that leads into the sundry laws and everything else, man, most everything in there we can do today. Now we act like we can't. We act like, man, if we just had God's laws in this land, we have them. They're at our taking. I mean, like I said, go to Exodus 20, read the Ten Commandments, and just keep on reading. There's very few things, and we're in Babylon, and I'm not saying we're not. There's very few things in there that we can't do. Richard, you brought up restitution yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's things that as citizens of America, we can't do with other citizens, but we can have restitutions in our homes. If one of our children takes something from one of our other children, we can say, this is the law of God. Now you're going to have to pay him double, or whatever the restitution happens to be. You know what I mean? There's a few judgment things that we can't do. But then also, if you read Christ's teaching, some of those things we're warned not to do anyway, because some of those things we're guilty of ourselves. You know, so there's very few things in this scripture from the 66 books, and I'm not just talking about the New Covenant, I'm talking about the whole thing, that we cannot do as individuals. And one of those things that we have to do that people don't want to do is separate. We have to separate ourselves from the world and not be caught up in these fleshly and worldly things. These no-win war things that go on. I'm not talking about Afghanistan and Vietnam and Iraq. I'm talking about the no-win war things that we have going on in these countries all the time. They are wars between certain groups of people. There's no winners.
They've always gone on.
They've always gone on.
They've always had war.
Separate yourselves. Come out from that, you know, and live for your king until the day comes when the king comes back. And he's going to restore judges in this land, and we're going to have a just nation. We're going to have a just land. We're going to have all these things that we all pray and want for. You know, these stupid things that you see on the news, Me and Richard looked up the beheading of those Christian people or Christian children over in Iraq. It's all propaganda, like you guys were saying earlier. It's wag the dog. It's all they're trying to get into your mind and have you care about things that you shouldn't be caring about.
And they do a very and not worry and not see what's going on in your own backyard. And they do a very good job of doing that.
If you live in St. Louis or Portland or Los Angeles or Chicago or Detroit, you probably need to get out. I mean, honestly, separate yourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, now if you happen to be in one of those places and it's not what I'm visualizing, it's not as bad as I'm visualizing, that's great, you know. But on a whole, man, separate yourselves, get out, you know. Cling to one another, you know. Cling to your brethren, cling to your family. I mean, some people take care of things that shouldn't be taken care of, and they let their family suffer things that they should never suffer, you know, and that's being worse than an infidel. That's who we should take care of first. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with separating yourselves and having a fellowship with the ones that you're like-minded with and, you know, showing them, you know, being brotherly love and neighborly and things. Because some people you can't be neighborly with.
Right.
You know, it's our job to be at peace with all men, if possible.
As much as possible.
And
right.
A lot of times it's not possible. You know, whether they've got a police uniform on or a hoodie on. You know, I mean, it's just not possible.
They're setting up St. Louis to be the next Detroit, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, slum. I mean, to the
yeah. Oh yeah, and yeah. Kansas City ain't far behind it. I mean, it's just
yep. Well, they've had cities. They have perfected the destruction of our cities with Detroit. You know, they absolutely have, and that's by design, and they take that plan and they'll apply it to other cities. You know, just like they've destroyed our enemy, and it's it's the unseen third party that Jason started out with. It is the Antichrist is who it is. The unseen third party that says, hey, let's you and him fight. And they benefit greatly from it. And that's what they've done. They've destroyed our cities, and then they get it perfected, and they apply it to others. They've destroyed They've destroyed the black race. They've destroyed the black family. And we've said it before. Before the Civil Rights Act of 1965, the black youth was not out marching on the street. He was in the home. And the black father was in the home with a job, with a wife, with children, raising a family. Now, for the most part, not every single one, but a lot more than you have now. And, you know, if you want to Google something, there's a black minister out there, Jonathan Gentry, Gentry. You know, Google and watch him. He's kind of along the lines of our old buddy, who was it, Wright, a few years ago that, you
the
know.
Preacher?
Yeah. And this guy, you know, somebody sent me a link from him sometime this week, and he's coming against the blacks there, and he's black, and he says, you know, black people, how are you going to change? You want to change? Don't expect anybody else to change. You change. You change.
Well, it's funny you say change because that's what repentance is all about.
Absolutely.
And can you imagine living in Nineveh? Okay, here comes Jonah, and you're getting this warning from God, and then time goes on, and all of a sudden you start seeing things not change. You know, for a time they change, you know, but then all of a sudden you start seeing things not change. What would you do? Hopefully you would get out. He's like, listen, he already warned us once. You know, I don't know how many years there were in between. I don't know how long it took.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you that too many people, they hang on to things that they shouldn't hang on to. And then they go down with the ship.
Right.
That's sad.
Whether it's the neighborhood or because the town. Mom and dad grew up here.
We always think we can help save somebody who doesn't want to be saved.
Yeah. You know, my dad used to get in conversations even before I was a Christian, and I'd get so upset at things like that you see going on and all that. And I remember him telling me that very thing, son, you can't save the world because the world doesn't want to be saved. You know,
yeah.
And that's it's so true. It's so true.
You look at.
Go ahead, John.
Governor Perry there in Texas sends the National Guard down to protect the borders. Because most of them are coming up through Texas, and California and Arizona, and what happens to him? Next thing you know, Kangaroo Court indicts him.
Yep.
On trumped up charges with a legal system that's bought off. There's a reason God told us to stay out of court, no matter what. Yeah. They want your coat, give them your shirt.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, folks, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live this Saturday morning. Now, we replay this broadcast on Monday night because it's at a different time and a different shortwave frequency, and it reaches a different group of people. But if you want to call in this morning, this Saturday morning, the 16th, the number's 307-745-5913. And we just kind of try to cover whatever comes to mind.
On a positive note, I don't know if you saw that, but the Navy reversed its course on ordering the lodges to remove the Bibles. A large part of that was that Todd Starnes with Fox News, he did a story on that, and there was such outrage to the Navy that they reversed their position. So I can remember Pastor saying, it takes so little sometimes, you know, just a phone call. He referenced a story of listening to the radio and some ungodly DJ was just mocking God and just being filthy. And he called the station and he talked to the program manager, who had no idea what was going on. And right then and there, he'd shut it down and said, it takes so little, but people just won't even pick up the phone or hit their knees and pray. And, I mean, that's really what it's going to take, just like Kyle said, for revival, is for his people who are called by his name to humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the truth is right there in the Word, if the people will read it. You know, Matthew 7, verse 21, says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you know, if I read that, then it's like, well, wait a minute, because I say, Lord, Lord, you know, I picture in my mind that it's Jesus Christ I'm praying to. It's God the Father. But the Word says, not everyone who says and calls me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. So, you know, the you would think you'd want to read on and kind of figure out what the
faith only, believe only.
Yeah, as you know, as old Paul Harvey used to say, get the rest of the story. And it's right there in the beginning of the Gospels. It's Matthew 7. But he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, and this is the words of Christ, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And so you better know what that will is. And that will is more than believe. The demons believe and shudder. And so, you know, if you have a belief-only friend out there, remnant, you know, try to have a little graciousness and a little salt in the speech when you talk to them. If they believe only, that's a great place to start. You know, I do that with our children, because I know as they grow up, they're going to be confronted with that as they have, you know, friends from other places. And, you know, we have neighbors that are kind of a belief only thing. And so, you know, it's a great place to start. Yeah, you have to believe, but that's not where you stop. You have to do. He who does, not he who believes, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And he doesn't deny that. He doesn't say, oh no, those were false. No, those were from Satan. No, those were this. He says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And I hope that's highlighted or underlined or marked in your Word. Because to me, when you go back up, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. It's those who practice lawlessness. So if you got somebody that, oh, you can't, no, there's nothing you can do. There's things you better be doing. You better be doing it, because if you're not doing, that's lawlessness. If you're not doing what he tells us to do, that's lawlessness. That keeps you out of the kingdom. And repentance, as John said earlier, is a start to that. Belief is a start. The next step better be figuring out what this is and then repenting from not doing this. Anyway.
Paul gives a life lesson. You know, those days that the church was being set up and he was going from city to city and anything, you know, they were rough times, you know. And then there's been good times. Christians have had good times.
Hmm?
And now we're getting back to rough times.
Right.
And it's getting rougher. And we probably don't even know how rough they can get, you know.
We don't.
You know, so,
physically or spiritually.
Yeah.
I don't think we do yet.
But the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, the first six or seven verses of chapter 5, give us kind of a life lesson on how we should live. It says, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." So we have houses we live in. We have physical things,
mm-hmm.
fleshly things, mortal things. You know, but and they can be destroyed. And back then, and when they're building up the church, they were being destroyed. You know, I mean, I like how he was a tent maker. You know, so he uses tent and he calls it a house. You know, but they're made with hands. Our houses that we live in are made with hands. They can be destroyed. They can be. You know, but we have the house of God. You know, that we need to cling to, and it's Psalms 91. And it's, you know, when you're clothed in righteousness with Christ. You know, I mean. That is the life thing there. That's what's important.
Amen.
Phone's ringing.
Amen. Yeah. It is. We'll pause there. Keep that thought. We'll go take a caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. This is Tim.
Good morning, Tim.
Hi. I was watching a John Wayne movie a little while ago. It was made in the 40s, and he read from the Naval Handbook. For the burial, I guess, at sea.
Uh-huh.
And it actually was quoted scripture in that. I believe that's actually a reality, that the Navy book, what they said for burial at sea at that time, actually did come right out of the scripture. And it was when the sea gives up its dead.
Yes.
You know, to the resurrection, I guess. I don't remember it exactly, but I thought, man, what a difference, you know, a few 50, 60 years makes. You know, now the Navy's, like, demanding all the Bibles are removed, I guess, right?
Yeah, right. We just heard earlier that John had said that they started that, and it seems like they've kind of backed off on that a little bit now, which is a good thing.
But you know what trend?
The other thought I had, if I could get it out here, was this chief of police or whatever from Missouri. He didn't go to Israel. He left Israel and he went to Edom, you know, and then he came back from Edom, came back to Israel from Edom. I mean, because we're living in Israel. This is Israel.
Well, yeah, Tim. I mean, we understand that, but
that's why Jason said Israelite.
Yeah, the Israelite. He went over to the Israelites and learned from them, like so many of our law enforcement do, and you know, so many of our so-called Christians do that as well. You know, they see it. I get the emails all the time, and you see it in the news. or in the mail, I guess, you know, is, oh, come visit Israel, come walk where Jesus walked. And, you know, there's a couple little Christian reality shows on TV, and you know, they go over and get baptized in the River Jordan. And what they don't show you is the armed guards up there keeping the Israelites from stoning them. You know, but yeah, we understand that, Tim. Yeah, we do.
I got one more thing that's kind of burdening me a little bit. And, cause I'm kind of troubled because I've heard that there's been a lot of Christians that have been murdered, just relatively recently. It's not getting hardly any press, but, Syrian Christians and Coptics, from Egypt and, Christians in Iraq, I guess, have been murdered by these Mohammedans in mass, is really what I've heard. And the thought occurred to me that, you know, Luke 22:35, I believe it is, where Jesus commands us to have a sword, if necessary, sell our robe, get one. That's not a request, that's a command.
It is. It is a command.
Yeah,
Pastor has always taught that.
Yeah, if we don't do that, it might not have anything to do with actually, you know, he's not going to, if we don't follow that, then he's not going to hear us when we cry out for help. And I think, because I know that the Christians are crying out to the Lord Jesus for help, and he's not going to hear them because they're not doing what he commanded them to do, which is to have a sword. Even, you know, so if they would do that, if they would have a sword, even if it's just a zip gun or a single shot rifle or something, it would probably help. Their prayers might be heard, and the Lord might take interest in shutting down the Mohammedan murderers. Just a thought.
Good point.
Keep all of his commandments. If you want your prayers heard, the more commandments you can keep, the better off you are.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Tim. You have a safe day out there. I do have another caller here. Caller, we'll get right to you. You know, that reminded me, Kyla, what you said earlier. Much of it, that's part of his law. Protect your own, you know, provide for your family. And if you don't have a sword, sell your robe and buy one. That's not a suggestion. It's a command, because you may need that to protect your family. And, you know, if you saw the pictures from these Ferguson riots, there was one store, and it was a tattoo parlor, so I'm not promoting tattoos. But there was one store that I know of that didn't get robbed and didn't get looted. And if you saw the picture, you had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 men standing out front with AR-15s.
Yep. And, same and, with the liquor store.
And the same with the liquor store.
Now, they broke other laws, but that law they kept.
That law they kept. Now, in the L.A. riots, in the L.A. riots back in 1992, I remember, and we talked about it, and Kyle and I did this week, you know, when the Rodney King, can't we just get along? When the Rodney King riots, you know, rolled through L.A. in 92, I remember it was a Korean store. That, boy, here come the looters and the burners, and they're just coming through. The Koreans had AK-47s, and they stood up on the roof with them leveled down at them, and the rioters went around them.
Well, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely I would. And so, you know, there's a
just
good...
Just weren't diehard.
Yeah.
The rioters.
Yeah. There's a good bit to that, you know. There is. Let's go to the caller. Caller, thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, man. Thank you for being on the air, and thank you for beginning to react to all this, all these events generated by those who call themselves Judeans, but are not. We are the Judeans, the Germanic people at least, and Ephraim and Manasseh and all the tribes, but, I have to congratulate you that you've turned around and you're taking each event as the those that call themselves Judeans are dishing up to you, and you're answering it with the scriptural answer to it. I have to congratulate you for that. That is wonderful. That's called leadership, and you're exercising your leadership, and that's called testosterone that you're issuing now. And your listeners are being inspired, and people like Willis and Bill and Bill's son Matthew, and there's another several others that call in with scripture, and it's great. It's starting to move toward the solution of what we're supposed to be doing. Like you all mentioned earlier in the program, the Word of God, it's written on the hearts of our remnant, our people, and if we get it out there, people will begin to hear the Word of God, the proper, you know, the scriptures that are applicable to people that are going through all the events generated by those that call themselves Judeans. But in my little newspaper here, there was an article, and I went down and got it from them. There's a man called Brad Sherrill, and he was a 24-year veteran of Shakespeare off-Broadway. And as you know, Shakespeare, every play that he ever did was actually a subtle scriptural sermon. He had the characters, you know, referring to God as a power. I mean, building respect for God. And so what he has done, he has memorized the book of John, the book of Exodus, and he's gone to many theaters off Broadway around the country, and he's developed a drama about Exodus, Israel leaving Egypt, and he gets in all the scriptures. Takes 2 hours, but of course, and he's been to 600 churches, but he's doing the right thing. He's getting the word out. It may be edited to protect those that call themselves Judeans, and but he's getting it out, and he's going to appear here in this little burg on Sunday, the 24th. And so I'm going to go talk to him. I think he might just be an Israeli of our genre, a Jacobite, a Jacobean. Pastor, in some of his messages, referred to us as Jacob. And there's another thing. If you say the word, the letter I, and then Sax, and then on, I Saxon. If you say it fast enough and long enough, it comes out Isaac sons, which we are. And so this man,
he'd be an Israelite,
Cheryl,
not an Israelite,
is doing the right thing. And so that's what we need to do, is be to flood the world, as Pastor said, with the word. And the end won't come as it in what is it, you know, the scripture 7:24 something, the end won't come until the gospel is preached,
right,
to all the world,
right? Part of the great part of the Great Commission. Absolutely.
Yes. And so I have to congratulate you. You've turned the ship of SFA around and responding to all this trumped up imaginary events that the agitators, like in Ferguson, Missouri, the unseen third party, as you also aptly have stated, the agitators, and there's another thing I've noticed from what you've just said. I have no idea about it, because I don't watch the news or anything. I just hear what people are talking about, and I know that's what's molding their minds. But yes, I don't understand what happened in the Navy, removing the Bible from where? The lodges?
Well, they had come up, basically removing the Bible from, and I guess they call it the lodges, the Navy barracks, the Navy barracks and the dormitories, and basically from all parts of it. But they have kind of turned that around. Hey, Jerry, we sure appreciate the call. Thanks for taking the time and sharing those comments with us this morning.
Thank you all.
All right, thank you
very much. God bless you now.
All right.
God bless you, too. You know, the thing we got to remember is our pastor had two swords, right? That's what we talked about in the newsletter a couple months ago or whatever. He had the replica of Excalibur. And I know that he had hoped and planned that he'd be using that sword at some point, maybe right there beside his son Monty, and that's still probably the case. But he had the sword of the Lord. And I think we have to realize that we need to master the use of that sword, the sword of the Lord, through prayer and through fasting and through diligent reading and through asking the Holy Spirit to enlighten us and to grant us wisdom and understanding before we even worry about wielding the physical sword. Because without God behind us, that physical sword is nothing.
And we all know, we all know that the apostles, the disciples, before they were apostles, walked with Christ, heard that teaching, had swords, and then we all know what happened to them. You know, they were thrown into jail. This was done to them. They were commanded not to preach the word of God anymore, and what would they do? They would go out in the streets and preach the word of God. And if it cost them their head, it cost them their head. Not that they didn't have the sword on their side, but what did they do? They didn't say, oh, you're telling me not to preach the word, I'm going to cut your head off. No, what they did was say, oh, I'm going to go preach the word because that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I've been called to do. Yeah. You know, and guess where they're at now, you know?
Yeah. That's not to say that at some point we may have to use a physical sword. We don't know. But we need to master the sword of the Lord before we worry about that. And none of us have done that yet.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on how you use the sword. If you use the sword, like Edom uses the sword, you're going to die by the sword. You know, I mean, that's just a fact.
Yeah.
You know, now we have a sword and we use it for, like Richard was saying earlier, to protect our families, to protect ourselves. I mean, just to keep the riffraff from robbing you, you know, or whatever it does.
Like we've
seen
pictures and we've seen in the history of our people. Yeah. Yeah, two different things here. Two different things, that's for sure. That is.
Well, you look today, though, those men who are protecting their businesses, the federal government will come in and take away or try to take away their weapons for not having them registered.
Well, we saw that very thing, John, in Hurricane Katrina back in 2005.
Yeah.
You had some people, you had some neighborhoods that put signs up that said looters will be shot, and they drove around in golf carts with guns and they kept the looters out. Now, that's a Christian biblical thing to do. You also saw some in Hurricane Katrina, normally closer into town, more in the cities. You saw the jackbooted thugs that probably maybe work in Ferguson, Missouri now, come in to the little old lady that had a little 25 caliber automatic, said, I'm fine, you don't need to worry about me, and I got this gun here to keep it out. And when they saw the gun, they tackled her, it was on video, beat the snot out of her, bruised her all up, taking her gun away from her for her safety, of course. And so,
smashed it against the curb.
Yeah, so to me, that ties back with what you said, Kyle. You know, if you're in those cities, you need to look long and hard at, do you need to be there? I know, I talked to Willis the other night. He called in, and I asked him, you know, I said, how far away are you from those riots? He said, about 100 miles. And I asked him, is that far enough? And he said he thought so. So, you know, that if that's, then good, good. But just understand, the read of the big cities and what happened to them in the time, the Bible times of Nineveh, of Sodom, of Gomorrah. And it is certainly something to consider. It is.
Well, that's the United Nations plan, really, if you read Agenda 21, is to get all the people into the cities so that they can control them.
Right.
But, you know, the common denominator that we're missing here, I think, is there's one group out of Madison, Wisconsin, that is the ones that have really started or at least been a threatening force against
Christianity in this country, and that's the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And I think we need to target our prayers towards them. I think we need to ask God that He gives them what they're asking for, freedom from religion in hell. And those that can, repent. But those that can't, we want them off the land or under it. And I think that's going to be a focus of prayer of this ministry here shortly, because we need to get together and target these things. Prayer is the key.
It is. It is.
That's why it's so important to pray the Lord's Prayer every day, to keep those evil things and those evil groups like that group from yours and your own. I mean,
That is part of establishing the kingdom in your home. And, you know, it says judgment starts with the house of God. And Kyle and I were talking about this week. And so, I think that certainly that's the church. That's the true church. But it's also my house. If I'm a Christian, if I follow God, if I'm trying to do His will, well, that's my house. And I have to do my best to establish the kingdom in my home and my life. And each of us have to do that. You know, and that's the remnant. And that's why we see that even in the turmoil, Kyle, you mentioned earlier about, you know, there's times that were good times for Christians. You know, for some Christians right now, these are good times. Because some Christians are living the kingdom. They are doing as much as possible what we read in Matthew, the will of my Father who is in heaven.
And that doesn't mean there isn't reasons to groan.
Oh,
like
no.
Ezekiel
no, not at all.
You know, like,
not
like the Paul was talking about.
Because that's part of it, is groaning out.
That's right.
Is seeing these things that are going on and doing just like we're doing, saying, hey, people, this is wrong. This is not how it's supposed to be. But doing the best we can to follow the law, to obey the commandments, to have that kingdom, to do His will, to tithe, to take the Sabbath, to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbors ourselves. And everything that goes along with that. Hey, we got a caller. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning, I guess it is. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, when you mentioned that Freedom From Religion Foundation, that struck a chord with me because I heard about them a few months ago. And I've always thought, I wish we could be freed of Judaism. You know how Judaism has a grip on us? So
yes.
I thought I would. I actually called them to tell them, well, why don't you just free us from Judaism? And of course, they said, well, that's not really our mission, you know.
No, it's
anyway,
not. Why do you think it's not their mission?
Yeah, I think I know why, because they're actually Jews, or in front of Jews. But they took my name, and took my name and address, and they send me, like, I just got, like, a big newspaper thing in the mail, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if we get, obviously I didn't read it, I just threw it away, but I said, wouldn't it be great if we get, like, a million people to take this, having them spinning their wheels, wasting all their money sending out this junk, and then we just throw it in the trash like it's a, you know, it's like an advertising flyer or something. You know? So I just thought that was, you know, that's something to think about. I mean, call them up and they'll think they really got a thing, good thing going. We're all just throwing all their stuff in the mail, and forgetting about it, wasting all their postage and everything.
Hey, good point. Where are you calling from?
I think we just send them a warning, God's warning. That you either repent or you perish, because you got people that are praying that God's word be fulfilled.
Yeah, I'm here in West Virginia.
I think that's what we need to do.
Yeah. So it's just something to think about anyway.
All right.
Just waste your money, right?
Yep. All right. Yep. Thanks.
Okay.
Well, we're
coming. The other thing we got to remember is praying that full armor of God on every day.
Yes.
No matter what, I had a little warning from God on that just a week ago, and my eldest daughter was rear-ended pretty hard in her vehicle, and the vehicle that rear-ended her was totaled. Her vehicle wasn't hurt very much, and she and my younger daughter weren't hurt, praise the Lord. But I'll tell you, it was like, you know, slap upside the head that, guess what you didn't do last night? You know, tired and coming home late, and you didn't hit your knees and pray like you're supposed to. You didn't pray the Lord's Prayer, and you didn't pray that full armor of God. And God is a merciful God and a patient God. And I knew plain as day that was a warning. So let that be a warning to you, too, out there in the remnant. Don't forget. It's in the days we're living in, it's critical that at the minimum you pray the Lord's Prayer and the full armor of God over those you love.
Absolutely. And like we said earlier, be obedient to the word. Read Ephesians 6. That's your homework assignment, Remnant, because we got time for one more caller, but read Ephesians 6. You're to put on the full armor, but you're also to pray for the saints. And John, I firmly believe when you said that, you know, that, hey, you might have forgot. I know I've certainly forgot. But, you know, thank God there are saints out there that are praying for the remnant, that pray that full armor on the remnant as well. And that, you know, it reminds me, we don't have time to get into it, but, you know, Pastor taught about the coverings and all the different coverings that we used to have as a people, that our children have from parents that go through the trials and stay married, you know, that forgive when the Bible says, oh, you just do away with that. No, that forgive, that lead godly lives, and grandparents and aunts and uncles and members of the body of Christ that pray for each other. And it adds those covers of protection, layers and layers. Good morning, caller. Got just about a minute.
Good morning, fellas. Hey, this is Willis. Just wanted to call and tell you all good morning, enjoying the show. And, you know, along with that full armor and praying for the saints, that following verse says that we might be given utterance to speak the word boldly.
Amen.
Amen.
Claim the gospel.
Amen.
So that's a calling for us, too, to get out there and speak that word to everybody we can. And, you know, I think Pastor Peters years ago called it kingdom living for each and every one of our
households. Several messages on it, yep.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, we need to, as much as possible, develop that as a daily walk, a way of life that we all take. And, you know, sooner or later, things are going to turn around for us. You know, here in St. Louis, you know, the reason those fellas were walking around, it was actually a meat market, and I think they sold liquor, too. The reason they were walking around with their weapons guarding their stores is because the police were standing two blocks away watching everybody loot. So they had apparently had stand down orders there in St. Louis this last night and this morning. So,
yep.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, the policeman's job and responsibility, I think Jason's pointed this out in the past, is not, they'll tell you, hey, our job is not to protect you. Our job's to arrest the lawbreaker. You know?
Yeah.
Law enforcement.
When seconds
when they
count,
yeah.
The cops are just a few minutes away.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, Willis, thanks a lot. You have a great weekend.
I'm going to. You guys have a blessed weekend. Looking forward to Sunday services.
Thanks.
Thanks, Willis.
Goodbye.
You know, as we wrap up this morning, it's Revelation 20, when back to the guy talking about from the Navy manual. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead, which were in them. That's Revelation 20:13, just as a follow-up. And, you know, one thing I noticed in all the rioting and looting in Ferguson, it was reported that there were no work boots stolen at all. No steel-toed boots.
Just Nikes.
Just Nikes and hair extensions and liquor and that kind of stuff. So, well, folks, we welcome you and we thank you for joining us here, Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we invite you to church Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And, John, are you bringing the scriptural insight tomorrow?
Yep.
Okay, so come in the morning, 10 o'clock. You'll see John the Ramrod there, and we'll have some songs and communion and a Holy Spirit-inspired message. And so we do. We invite you there. Come and don't forsake the assembly. This is a way that you can obey that commandment and gather with the saints, even if it's in your living room. If you don't have a good internet connection, then contact us. We'll send you the DVD Church. We record the church services and have been for years, and send them out on Monday morning with in a DVD, and so people are able to get that as well. And so and very importantly, join with us and partake of communion and all that entails. So again, well, thanks so much, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, stay high. Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen.
keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake hide.